shared on five great keys to Christian living. We shared in message one, we have to abolish pouting because our attitude controls our altitude in life. And secondly, we talked about just old-fashioned believing God. Believe in God that we operate by the principles that He lays out in His Word. Last Sunday, we talked about committing to God, and this Sunday is delighting in the Lord. Now, you won't be able to delight until you do the other things that we've already shared with you. It just won't work. If we don't abolish pouting, we can't delight. You cannot have joy and not have praise. And you can't have praise without joy. And so, the word delight, I didn't put the Hebrew word in there, but the root meaning of it is to have extreme rejoicing. I'm talking about extreme rejoicing. Where no matter what the situation is in your life, you extremely rejoice. Because you know that you know that you know that your God is bigger than any of your situations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to start out with this morning, Philippians 4:4, in the launching text, rejoice always, and again, I say rejoice. In other words, never have a moment in your life where you're not rejoicing. If you awake, you ought to be rejoicing. And by the way, to rejoice is a choice. Happiness is based on happening. But to rejoice is not based on anything for the believer except Jesus. And so, choose to rejoice. Nehemiah 10, I've shared this with you many times, but I'll share it with you again this morning. Then he, God, said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, that means take in what's good, drink the sweet, cast away the bitter, only allow sweet in your life. Take in that which is good, cast away the bitter, take in sweet, send portions for them who don't have anything prepared for them. In other words, be a giver. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now that's a great principle there to live by. Take in the good, drink in the sweet, cast away the bitter, give to those who don't have. And know that this is a day that the Lord has made. You're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And when you do, you'll have the strength of God backing you up in every situation of life. Boy, that's good stuff.
Amen.
Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, if you don't have anything else to rejoice about, you can start down that list of what God has brought you through.
Amen.
What God has brought you through. And if you look in your life, we've all been through some stuff. Amen.
Amen.
We have been through some stuff. Some of us have been deep in sin. We've been through stuff. Every one of us has lost loved ones. We've been through stuff. Every one of us has been talked about by somebody. We've been through stuff. All of us have been through stuff. Amen. But let us say so, how we got through it, and if we really look how we got through it, if we're believers, we got through it by the Lord. Amen. He that begun a good work in you is going to perform it till the day of Christ.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
I can stop and preach here. But Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that have breath, put your hand up if you know. You got bad breath?
No.
I'm just kidding. You feel your breath, amen. You're breathing. So, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You can't praise without rejoicing. It just won't work. It'll be empty. It'll be empty, just empty words. If we're not rejoicing in our praise. That brings us down to our text verse, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Have extreme rejoicing in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Boy, that is good now. The desires of our heart from God depend on if we rejoice or not. And some folk wonder why God is not moving in their behalf. And if we investigate, maybe it just might be that we're not rejoicing always. Amen? Oh, me? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Father, make this word real to us, Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, help me preach it. And us to receive it and walk in it.
Thank you, Lord.
God, that we will always choose to rejoice in everything all the time. Make this message real to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to share 8 things with you this morning on ways to rejoice in the Lord. If you don't have a way, you'll have a way when this message is through.
Amen.
If you don't have a way to rejoice, you'll have a reason to rejoice when this message is through. Number one this morning, delight in the Lord, have extreme rejoicing in the Lord, for there is revelation for you. Now, I've shared it with you many times, Hosea 4:6. My people, God says, he's talking to his people. Are you God's people?
Yeah,
then this don't apply to you if you're God's people.
Yeah.
He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know will kill you. If you don't believe it, put your hand on 240 volts of electricity and see what happens. More than likely, you're not going to walk away. I did put my hand on 440 volts one time, and I did walk away. Only what happened is the room was about as wide as this building, and the crate of computer cables, I had a computer shipped in. Well, I went and picked it up from Denver, Colorado, from the Air Force Accounting Center that they gave the college where I ministered. And I thought they discharged all the capacitors before they loaded the cable in. And I'm talking about computer cables this big around and capacitors tied in line in the cable this big around. And they had tie-on plates about 6 inches wide and about 10 inches long where you put a bolt in to tie in the computer. They were the power source. I would have thought they discharged the capacitors. Capacitors hold electricity. Well, I was uncrating them. And just happened to get a hold of the positive and negative end of the cable. And I became a 440 volt conduit. Now, I wasn't as heavy as I was, and I would weigh then about 200 pounds. It knocked me literally in the air all the way across the room. And I fell into the wall and slumped to the floor. I shouldn't have walked away. I don't know how many boats was left in the capacitor because it had joshed all around from Denver, Colorado, to Camden, Arkansas. And you would have thought that they would have discharged them because of the danger. What you don't know will kill you. You know, I shouldn't have walked away, but I did. God had more for me. And so what you don't know will kill you. So God has ordained a way for you and me to have revelation knowledge.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:17, the believers this know, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you've got the knowledge of God, there's nothing in this world that you cannot do. And you will not know. Because God knows everything.
Amen.
Why don't we know everything? Because we don't need everything right now. But at this moment, God will give us revelation knowledge of what we need to know right now.
Amen.
Promise to you and me as believers. How do we get it? Revelation of God's Word. Amen. We can get in God's Word and get revelation of who God is, what God has, how God works, what He wants for us, what we can expect from God, how we can do it in our own life. Amen. Samuel was being called of the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 3. He heard a voice. His mama had gave him to the Lord, and he was living in the temple with the priest Eli, and he heard Samuel singing. Well, he thought it was Brother Eli calling him, so he crawled out of bed and run in there. And, yes, sir, what do you want? He said, what do you mean, what do you want? This is my translation. He said, didn't you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. He said, go on back to bed, boy. Went back to bed. About in a half doze. And he heard Samuel singing. He thought it was Eli again, so he got out of bed, run in there. What do you want, master? He said, I didn't call you. He said, next time you hear it, say, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Well, God called him again, as he did the other times. Samuel, Samuel. And he said, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. That's when Samuel was called into the priesthood. God. You and me need to be like Samuel. Speak, Lord, we hear. Yeah. Our ears are turned towards you. We have revelation of God's word, but also Mark 4:24 puts it this way. Jesus said unto his disciples and us, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it's measured to you. How you hear, it's measured unto you. What you're listening to is measured unto you. Are you hearing it or not hearing it? Do you want to hear it or don't you want to hear it? We need to hear what God has to say to us. And the more we hear, the more He gives. The more we hear, the more He gives. If we want revelation knowledge, just hear God speak the first thing to us.
Amen.
And that's coming to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll take your sin away. I'll deal with the sin issue. Revelation of the Word. Revelation of God's will. Ephesians 1:9. And God will, or having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. I get asked a lot, what is the will of God for my life? Here it is, spiritually. God wants you to give yourself to Him, and Him pour into you everything that you need, and He gives you the spiritual kingdom so you can have influence and impact in the secular kingdom of the world.
Amen.
That's God's will. His will is to give us the kingdom and give us everything in the spiritual kingdom that we need so we can make an impact on the world kingdom, on the secular world. Why? Because God's not willing that any perish but all come to repentance. And so if we have an impact in the secular kingdom of presenting Jesus, then we have fulfilled the will of God. Now, we may all have different professions. We all may have a different job. You wouldn't want me operating on your heart. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't know how to. I could cut you open. I might not could get you breathing again. We all have different professions. And whatever you like to do, that is your profession. Whatever you like to do. God's not wanting to make your life tough and you be miserable in your job. If you don't like your job, find one that you do. That's your profession. That's your profession. I used to absolutely enjoy working on computers. I got where I detested it after so many years. So I changed professions. I thought I was going to retire. Be like the rich man. Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, that didn't last very long. Why? Because I wasn't following the will of God. God's will for us is so important in Revelation. Number three, God's way. Well, God's way is very simple. Jesus said it this way. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man's going to come to the Father but by me. That's God's way. God's way is Jesus. And if you're not walking with Jesus, you're out of the way. Or in the way, but not of the way. Amen. And so God's got revelation for us, so we won't be destroyed. We can delight in that. Praise God. If I had nothing else, I can delight in that.
Amen.
I know what my life is to consist of. Number two, delight in the Lord because there's transformation. Praise God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not yet what I want to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
And thank God, the great I am is working on my am. Praise God. Transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Transformation. All things are passing away. Transformation. All things are becoming new. Transformation. Praise God. It's not just get it and through. No. We're continually being transformed and molded by God as we yield ourselves to Him. God doesn't just reach down with His holy stick and tap us on the head and say, now you're perfect, go on. No, He's molding us and shaping us. Praise God. And helping us through things to transform us. The big transformation is 1 John 3:5. You know He was manifested to take away our sins and in Him no sin. That is the great transformation when He takes away our sin. But then it's not over.
That's right.
He's continually working on us. Transformation. Number one, a transformed life by transformed love. What we used to hate, we now love. And what we used to love, we now hate. Transformation. Loving the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and loving everybody else, our neighbor, as thyself. Transformed love. Transformed lust. The things I used to want, I don't really want no more. Why? Because I know it's a can of worms. Huh? Bunch of dead worms, praise God. Bunch of deadness in my life. I don't want to go back to my former lifestyle. I had it and was miserable, but praise God, now I can rejoice because I know who I am. I know what I have. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want what I used to want. Transform this. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because of transformed lust. You're not under law anymore. You're now under grace. And grace gives you God's ability to do what you can't do for yourself. You can say no to what you didn't say no to. Why? By the power of the Holy Ghost. And you listen to that voice, that revelation. The Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Don't say that. So we grip our lips. So we don't. Transform lust. Now our heart is after God. Psalm 42:1. As a hart or a deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. I rejoiced yesterday. I think I put some trash in the truck or coming back from carrying off trash. This big old mama doe deer down in the pond. And she had a little bitty white spotted one. He probably wasn't that tall. Or she down in the water with her. About a ridge of that much of his back you could see in his head out of the water. She had the little baby down in there cooling him off in the water. God will cool you off with His water.
Yeah.
When the raging things get so hot and you're about to boil over, He'll carry you to the water brook. Psalm 63:1-2, oh God, thou my God, early I'm going to seek thee. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to get up in the morning and the first thing I'm going to do is seek the face of God. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where the water is, to see your power and to see your glory as I've seen it in the sanctuary. I don't want to just see it in the church house. I want to see it outside the church house. I want to see it in my own life. Amen. And the way I know to do it is run after God as hard as I can. Change lust. Then transform lips. That is a big transformation in our life. We can change our lips because we change our mind. We can change our destiny. Because the way we talk is the way we walk. Proverbs 13:2, a man's going to eat good by the fruit of his lips. Soul of the transgressor is going to eat violence. We can have violence. We can choose that. But praise God, I choose to rejoice. Why? Because I got transformed lips. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we have to constantly keep a grip on them, but transform lives. Praise God. Sometimes we need a vice grip just to clamp on our lips so we can't open our mouth. And once the lips swell up big enough, we can't talk. We'll be all right. Number four, delight in the Lord, for there's liberation. If you have nothing else to delight about, you can delight because God is speaking to you through the written word, through the Holy Spirit, through other folk, through angels, in every way he can to bring revelation to us. He's transforming us, working on us daily, and there's liberation. We're now free. We're now free. Look at Romans 8:2 here with me. For the law of the Spirit, this is the law of the Spirit of a life in Christ Jesus. This is the law. This is God's law. This is what he's saying. For the law of the Spirit, life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin, that's separation from God, and death, spiritual death, physical death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from sin. We don't have to sin. We sin because we want to. We sin because we want to. And it's made me free from death. I just transfer locations. In this, I'm liberated from sin. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. God gives you the power to reign over sin. If you don't reign over sin, it'll reign over you. So, reign over sin. Number two, liberated from Satan. Praise God. Greater is the Lord that's in us than the devil that's in the world. And the Bible says, don't give any place to the devil, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. But it also says, I love this verse of Scripture. 1 John 5:18. We know. Say, I know something this morning. Praise God. We know that whosoever is born of God, are you born of God? Yes, I am. I don't go about habitually practicing sin anymore because I've been born again. Amen. I received a transformation. But look on. But he that is begotten of God, born again of God, new life in Christ, hallelujah, praise God, keeps himself. We keep ourselves through the power of the Spirit. We keep ourselves. The law of the Spirit has made me free from the law of sin. We keep ourselves. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And the wicked one, the devil, cannot touch us. The devil only touches what we allow. If you allow him to touch your body, he's going to. If you allow him to touch your family, he's going to. If you allow him to touch your children, he's going to. If you allow him to touch your possessions, he's going to. Tell the devil when he shows up, get out, buddy. Get out. You don't belong here. I don't belong to you. I got power over you. Do what I tell you. You go in the name of Jesus. And everything that you've ever taken from me, you bring it back now.
Amen.
Get violent with the devil. Don't let him. Daddy, tell him he can't have your heart.
He can't have
it. Hallelujah. He can't have your heart. Praise God. Our body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. He cannot have our body. He cannot have our organs. He cannot have anything that we have. Praise God. And if we're tithers, God's going to rebuke. But he gives us the power to rebuke the devil under the new covenant. Praise God. Rise up and take the power God has given you and tell the devil to go.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We're liberated from situations. That includes that. Look at this verse of Scripture. This will make you rejoice now. 1 Corinthians 15:15. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. And I included in the text over all things because he gives us victory over all things, not just some things, not just a thing, but victory over all things. Praise God. Hallelujah. How? Through Jesus Christ. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got something to rejoice about now. I'm not going to let a situation control me. Not going to do it. Evil is going to come, and evil people are going to come. Attacks are going to come, even from family sometimes. Even from some folks who you thought was the best Christian you ever knew, sometimes the devil gets in them and on them, and they will attack you like, what is this? Know that it's not them. Know that it's not them. Know that it's not them. Don't attack them. Attack the devil that's using them. And tell him to get his hands off of them. Because he has to obey you. Praise God. Hallelujah. That make you rejoice. That's why the Bible says love your enemies. And it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. Why? Because you're burning off the dross. Praise God. That the devil has stacked up on them. I better move on. Don't let an enemy get to you. If he can get to you, he'll work through you. Don't let him get to you. You turn the tails and know it's the devil. You attack the devil and he'll run. How many of you have ever stomped your foot at a non-poisonous snake? I don't do that to a rattlesnake. Especially if he's coiled up. Because usually, I'm packing some heat on me if I'm in a place where a rattlesnake is. And I'm going to send him to rattlesnake heaven. Praise God. If there is such a place. Number five this morning, delight in the Lord because there's vindication. Amen. There's vindication. When God liberates you, he vindicates you. And listen to what Romans 8:1 said. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned. So don't condemn yourself. Amen. Now there's going to be plenty of folk that will. Remember when you don't say it to them as they shut up, did it? Remember when? There'd be plenty of folks to condemn you. Thank God, God erases our rap sheet. We don't have a rap sheet with God. Praise God, hallelujah. He vindicates us, holds nothing against us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them and forget them. Vindicated with the forgiveness of sin. That's it. If we confess, as far as God is concerned, it's gone. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Secondly, we are vindicated with the furnishings of the Spirit. Now listen to me this morning. I want to teach you something right here. The furnishing, how does God furnish us with the Spirit? Number one, when we get born again, the Spirit comes in. We get the gift of the Spirit. We get the gift of the Spirit. Say gift of the Spirit.
Gift of the Spirit.
What does that mean? The Spirit of God comes to dwell in us, to lead and guide us into all truth. That's the second thing the Spirit would do. The Spirit leads. Romans 8:14, as many as the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is a gift to us to let us know that we're born again, and he regenerates us. The Holy Spirit regenerates us, puts a new spirit in us. So we get the gift of the Spirit, we get the leadership of the Spirit. But thirdly, we can get the baptism of the Spirit. With the fullness of God. And when we get the baptism of the Spirit, we'll get gifts of the Spirit. There's four things that the Holy Ghost is here for you to do. Jesus saves us from our sin, but we need the Holy Ghost. That's why he left the Holy Ghost with us, because we need at least four things from the Holy Ghost to live a victorious life. We need to get the gift of the Spirit. He comes in us. We need to get the leadership of the Spirit. He's there to guide us. We need the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for power. You'll receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then for that power, we also get the giftings of the Spirit, which are gifts of words of knowledge, gifts of prophecy, words of knowledge, gifts of tongues, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of all different kinds, gifts of government, gifts of helps. All the giftings of the Holy Spirit, it comes from us. So we can have an impact in this secular kingdom that we already talked about. Four things you need from the Holy Ghost. They're identified here in these verses of Scripture. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him, that's talking about Jesus, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by his Spirit. That's why we get the gifting of the Spirit. He's the one that keeps us alive. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So we get the leadership of the Spirit. Matthew 3:11, we get the baptism of the Spirit. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he, Jesus, that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. How do we get that? If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And then, I didn't list it there, but you can look in 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 on the giftings of the Spirit, of what he's there for, and it gives you gifts so you can make an impact in the secular world. Number three, when we get forgiveness and we get the furnishing of the Spirit, then we get fortified for service. That's the vindication. God qualifies you. You can now be my servant, he said. You can serve me. And he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you in the first place. And I ordained you. And that ordination comes with authorization for us to do whatever the Spirit empowers us to do, to bring forth fruit, so the fruit remains, hallelujah, and God is glorified because we're bringing fruit, we'll make an impact in the secular world through the spiritual kingdom. That is good stuff. That is all one message in itself. You can take every one of these and preach the message. You say, and hurry up, preacher, you got three more to go. Delight in the Lord for their stabilization. We don't have to worry about getting out and slipping and sliding into sin and keeping one foot over hell and another foot trying to head toward heaven. That is not what we're about when we're born again. God stabilizes us. He is our anchor. He is our rock. He stabilizes us. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace who called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, notice there's going to be problems. After you suffered a while, what is he going to do? He's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to settle you. Why do we go through storms? For that right there. Why do we have problems? For that right there. We will never be perfect. We will never be established. We'll never be strengthened. We'll never be settled unless we've gone through some stuff. I've been through some stuff. Devil can come, I ain't moving. My foot is already moved off the rock of Jesus. I don't care if the devil comes. I'm not moving off the rock of Jesus. I'm settled. I've been through some stuff. I'm settled. Problems are going to come. I know. I'm settled. I remember in my early years of ministry, problems would come. I said, oh, Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? Now I know. Established, perfect, strengthened, settled. That's why problems come our way. We can't be strong until we've been stretched. and the problems come to stretch us. No muscle will ever be built. Don, now Don is a muscle builder. Kelly does that too. And I tell you, I shook hands with Charlie the other day. He got pretty good guns up here, man. He's been lifting. Y'all don't check my muscles out, you'd be disappointed. I got table muscle. Praise God, I got muscle. Hallelujah, I got muscle. Mine's table muscle. I used to have abs, now I got flabs. God's going to stabilize you. He's going to stabilize you. Look at this. Psalm 37:31. The law, or the word of God, is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Why do we get the word in our heart? So none of our steps slide. Very perfect. We're strengthened. We're established. We're settled. Praise God. We don't have to slip slide to heaven. Why? Look here. Psalm 121:3. God promises he will not suffer our foot to be moved. That's God's help right there. God's not going to suffer your foot to be moved. We're anchored to the rock of ages. We're anchored to the rock. We're not going to be moved. This is why Apostle Paul, I mean, they tried everything they could to kill him. He went through all kind of stuff. They beat him with rods. They locked him up in stocks. They beat him and whipped him. He was shipwrecked in the deep, floating around on a piece of wood from the ship. Got out of that, come up on the island, built a fire to dry out, and a snake jumped out of there. Viper bit him. They thought he would die because he was one of the most poisonous snakes in the area. And then they thought he was a god. He said, no, I'm not your god. I'm here to show you who one is. And he was getting ready to go get his head chopped off for preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out devils, performing miracles. And they said, don't go. He said, I know what the Holy Ghost said. He said, the Holy Ghost says, when I get there, I'm going to have problems. But this is what he said. Look it up in Acts. None of those things moved me. We're stable. Why? Because we know the peace of God. Isaiah 26:3. He'll keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds on him. Now look at this verse of scripture. I don't know when the last time. It's been a long time since I shared this verse of scripture. But look at this verse of scripture out of Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. This is God talking. I will also keep thee in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I know this talking about end time, but we're living in them. We live in them. God says, I'm going to keep you in the hour of temptation. I'm going to keep you when trouble arises. I'm going to keep you when all hell comes against you. I'm going to keep you when the devil throws out his best stuff at you. I'm going to keep you because you have kept my word. All we have to do is make a vow and mean it and live it. We're going to keep the word of God. And when we do, God keeps us. Amen. Woo! Mm-mm-mm. He said, no temptation going to take you. Such a common man is going to be commonplace. I won't tempt you above each shape. I'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. That's how he keeps us. Stabilized. Move from stabilization to preservation. Isaiah 54:17, we have a promise. No weapon formed against us shall prosper if we don't let it. How do we shield ourselves from the weapons? With our shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16. Above all things, holding up our shield of faith, for we're able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Praise God. And every word that's spoken against us, that's unrighteous, we condemn. I don't try to condemn righteous words. If somebody's speaking righteously over you, don't condemn that. They condemn unrighteous words that are spoken over you. Don't take them in. They're from the devil. Give him no place, no time. Don't dwell on that junk. Rise above it. Speak against it. I cast that word down. I don't receive it. Hallelujah. What are we going to say to all these things that come against? If God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ with strength.
Yes, right.
Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 2:14. Love this verse of Scripture. Now. Right now. Right now. Right this moment. Now, thanks be to God. Just start rejoicing and praising God. Hallelujah. 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 This weapon that's been formed is not going to prosper. I'm going to walk out in victory because God promised me that. Look what it says. Right now, thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph. Always causes me to triumph. Always causes me to triumph. How? In Christ. Now, if we're not in Christ, if you've gone out and blown it, committing sin, living the wrong lifestyle, the scripture won't work for you. But if you're in Christ, it works. Always causing us to triumph. You say, well, I'm going through. Well, at least you're going through. Hadn't stopped yet, have you? Praise God. Hadn't stopped yet. You're going through. Always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the Savior. That's a fragrance. He's talking about a fragrance. A fragrant realization of His knowledge by us in every place. Wherever we're going, we're leaving behind the fragrance of Jesus. Jesus has been there and done some work. When people walk in your house, they need to know that Jesus is there. They can experience the aroma and the fragrance and the anointing of God, because He's been operating in your house.
Amen.
And if you realize that you're a Christian and you've experienced this, you can walk in some doors and you know trouble is here. Our trouble has been here and hadn't been cast out. It may not be manifested at that moment, but you know trouble is there. Why? Because God's Spirit bears witness to our spirit. If it's not bearing spirit, our spirit, you can sense when trouble is there. And when you do, you come against it. You don't have to visibly. If God gives you a word for them, you speak their word. But don't just go off half time and say, I know trouble's here, and I'm telling you, you better get your act together. No, don't do that. That's what we want to do. Come over here and let me slap you three times. And let's build an altar here. Now I'm going to throw you on the altar and we're going to crucify you there. No, that's not right. Sometimes that's what we want to do. We have to pull our want to in and say, God, help my attitude here. No, we come against that thing. And if we have opportunity, we minister in love. We're going to get crazy with it. Praise God. Well, number 8. Delight in the Lord, for there's authorization. Now, I would like to preach an hour on here, but we've been going close to one already. Know this in your life. You have been authorized to take care of business for God. You've been authorized. If you're born again, you've been authorized. You need to be filled with the Spirit, because you're going to face trouble that you're going to need the Spirit's giftings to get out of and through. And so, but know that you've been authorized. Number one, you've been authorized with prayer. Luke 11:9-10. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it be opened unto you. You've been authorized with prophecy. You can use your mouth to prophesy yourself in your situation, out of it in victory.
Amen.
You can use your mouth. Look here at this verse of Scripture. Jesus said to the disciples that have faith in God, say to the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe those things that you say will come to pass. You'll have whatever you say if you have faith in God and don't doubt in your heart and speak it forth. I tell every one of those in jail, get your life right with God and then say, I'm getting out of here and I'm getting out of here early. Getting out of here and I'm getting out of here early. You have what you say. You have what you say. You have what you say. Prophesy on this. How do we do it? God gives us the keys. Matthew 16, 9. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth by the prophecy with your speech shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth by the prophecy of your speech shall be loosed in heaven. God gives us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Every key to operate in any situation so that righteousness comes forth, peace comes forth, and joy comes forth.
Amen. Amen.
Prophesy your destiny. You're authorized with power. There's nothing you cannot do. With God, all things are possible. He gives you power to tread over all the power of the enemy, Luke 10, 19.
Amen.
And he gives you authorization of provision. He'll supply every need. He's already gave everything for life and godliness in this life. All we have to do is access it. How do we access it? By the knowledge of him. We call it in.
Amen.
We ask, we call it in. We prophesy it in. God's able to make his ability bound toward us, and we always have an auspicious in all things, but bound to every good work. Now that ought to cause us to rejoice. I should have chopped this thing up and preached 8 different sermons on this. Because that's a boatload. I'm telling you, we have no reason to go around hanging our head and wondering what's going to happen.
Right.
It's up to us. God gives us the ability. It's up to us. In this power, in this authorization, God gives us the ability to change our circumstance.
Amen.
And what we can't do, he will do. Now, I get aggravated a lot about this pet thing. There are a lot of people going around, this battle is the Lord. Not every battle is the Lord's. He empowers you for the battles. I see that a lot. You know, this battle is not yours, it's the Lord. No, that's not what he says in the New Covenant. He says, I give you power. Get out there and tell the devil what to do. I get a little frisky when it gets down to that. Because God authorizes us. No, he gave us a new covenant so we could. In the old covenant, he did. But in the new covenant, we do. Don't expect God to do everything. He's empowered us. I better quit. Well, I'm about to turn loose and preach here for a while. And I know your belly's calling you to the restaurant. Uptown or at your dinner table. Don't go around expecting God to do it. He has authorized us. Get up in the devil's face and say, back off, Jack, and if you don't, I'm going to give you some word and whoop your tail real good. You can take your horny ears and your long tail and your red suit and pitchfork, go. That's not what the devil looks like. The devil presents himself beautiful. He was the star of the morning. He was the praise and worship leader. All decked out in heaven, man. Looking good. Devil don't come to us in red suit, pointed ears, long tail, and pitchfork. No, he comes looking good. Presenting good. You better taste and see the Lord good. I gotta quit. Know what you, I'm telling you. If I could get you as your pastor to do one thing, know what you have in Christ and turn it loose on your enemy. And he will back up. He will back down. Betty and I walk in living proof. It works. The devil will back up. Now we got problems. I don't want to tell you all of them. I mean, if you got a while, I want to listen to heartache, despair, and gloom. We can tell you some, but I'm telling you, we got power over the devil. Get up and rise up in the name of the Jesus and whoop the devil's tail.
Amen.
I hope that's on video.
I receive that.
Receive it this morning. Let's stand. Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Life Church broadcast today. We want to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657, or you can call us at 870-460-0829. Also, check out our new website, www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find our pastor's sermon notes and see what we're doing all around the world as well as at home. We would love to have you in service with us. Come check us out at Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. or Tuesday evening prayer at 7 p.m. and we would love to see you there. We're located at 910 Old Warren Road, right in Monticello, Arkansas. Now remember, go this week and live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.